Welcome, friends. Welcome back to ArtCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, bringing you a wealth of information from some of the most interesting and smart people in the world today here on ArtCast. It's sort of like a blog. You know, it's kind of like reading a blog, only except for you listen. And the thing I like about that is you can listen when you're in your car, when you're on a plane, when you're jogging, you know, when you're multitasking. And so you can kind of absorb knowledge and learn a lot. Well, what do you think about when you think about a SQL database? You know, you're probably thinking about relational stuff, stored procedures, tables and columns. But maybe you haven't realized the kind of advances that have been made about XML in the database. And SQL Server 2005 has a bunch of these. So stick around. You're going to learn more from Shankar Pal. Hi, this is Ron Jacobs, and I'm back again at BS Live San Francisco, where I am interviewing many of the speakers here, and I'm joined today by Shankar Pal. How do you say that? Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Shankar Pal.
Oh, very good. And Shankar, tell me about yourself.
So I'm originally from Calcutta, India. That's where I grew up. I went to school in Calcutta. Then I went to school at IIT Kanpur, which is one of the premier technological institutions. Then I came to Pennsylvania State University for my graduate studies. I got my master's and PhD. I became a professor, assistant professor at Penn State before joining Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for about 10 years. I joined as a developer. And then half of my tenure at Microsoft, I have been a program manager working on XML technologies.
Interesting. So, and you're on the SQL Server team. And you guys have added a lot of new XML capabilities to SQL Server. And I think what I find is, as I talk to architects out in the world, a lot of people are aware that these things have been added, but don't really know a lot of the details or what the intention was for these features. So why don't you give me a little sense of what did you add and why should an architect care about these things?
That's a good start, Ron. So we considered adding XML data model to the database engine. The database engine, it is very strong for processing the relational data model, storing and processing relational data, and processing relational applications. With the growing need for XML and the prevalence of XML in different industries, we found it a good opportunity to add XML data model to the database engine. So now it's the same database engine that can understand and honor relational data model and also the XML data model. By that, I mean that you can store XML data within the server. You don't have to shred the XML data into tables and relations, but you can store it natively as XML data. We provide very strong query capabilities on the XML data for querying the data not only based on the values contained within the XML, but also the structure of the XML. We provide very strong indexing support of XML. So for indexing support, we don't look at the XML as a binary blob or a text blob, but the indexing capabilities, they actually take into account the values and the structure of the XML data. Now with XML, XML schemas are also quite prevalent. And if you look at different vertical industries, there is a huge amount of XML schemas out there. So we provide very strong capabilities for loading your XML schemas into the database engine. We use the schema both for query optimization, for storage optimization, and we allow you to evolve your schema over time, which invariably happens, and we provide strong support for schema evolution and data evolution.
So, you know, I think it's an interesting point that you said about not having to shred the XML, because I think the first reaction people have is, you know, maybe I have a web service and you send me some XML. The first thing I'm going to do is take it all apart, shred it into stuff, and then make a bunch of calls to the database and store it in tables and columns, because that's been my mindset for a long time. But why would I want to think about storing it as XML?
So when your XML data has a very simple structure and you know the structure ahead of time, you can consider storing the data, shredding the data into tables and columns. Now, you do pay a price when you do the shredding. Now, if your application requires a lot of reassembly of the XML, then that's another cost you have to pay. While the XML is simple and you know the structure, these costs tend to be relatively negligible. However, we find, especially when we look at different XML schemas that have evolved, if you look at the XML schemas for Office documents, for example, then shredding is a non-trivial task. You could end up with many different tables. You could end up with many, many rows within each of these tables. So the cost of shredding becomes non-trivial. The cost of reassembly becomes non-trivial. And to maintain the structure of the, and to reproduce the structure of the original XML in terms of the relative order of the nodes, the hierarchy of the data becomes very complex. So if you imagine that you took a Word document, you can save the Word document in XML form, and then you try to shred it. When you recompose, you want the different sections to be ordered in the appropriate way. You want the subsections to be in the same hierarchical manner in which the end user created it. So all of these, they become non-trivial problems. And for data from the data management perspective, it becomes so much easier to be able to store the XML intact and to have the database engine be able to deal with the complexities of the XML, with the structure of the XML, to be able to index it and query it.
You know, so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people have always shredded things, because they thought that the database engine couldn't do those things very well with XML. But you've added support for all the searching and querying, even things like XQuery and that sort of stuff over XML?
Yes, absolutely. So when you supply your XML data, we parse it and we store it in an internal binary format. And this binary format has several advantages. If you try to query the data, then we can parse it very efficiently, more efficiently than parsing the original textual XML. And it also gives you some compression in the general case. Now, we support XQuery, which is a W3C candidate recommendation at this time, as the query language. It's a very powerful query language which can query not only the values within the XML, but also the queries can be based on the structure. So we taught our query processor to take XQuery expressions, to compile it down into a set of relational operators enhanced for XML processing. And then we can use the same relational infrastructure for processing the XQuery. Now, we actually have gone beyond the standard, and we have added capability for data modification. So if you take the example of a Word document, then you could say, I want to add a new section to the document, and this can be done as a partial update. You can say, I want to drop a particular section, or I can change the name of an author to a different name. So all of these operations can be supported.
Oh, I had no idea that you could, you know, so let's imagine an inventory list of XML and a whole bunch of product items in my inventory. I could, you're saying then, just add or change any particular item in the XML without having to, like, take the whole XML out, take it apart, add a new thing, and stick it all back. I can just independently update it?
Absolutely. And we have quite a few optimizations in place. Consider a book. If the price of the book changes, then you can simply give a statement to say you want to modify the price of the book to the new value. And in storage, we, depending upon what kind of operation it exactly is, we might be able to do an incremental operation, meaning we might be able to change only that piece of the XML data in storage. And when you if you have indexed the XML data, we would be able to change only the index rows that are modified. So this gives rise to good performance compared to replacing the entire XML, dropping all the index entries and recreating them. Now, one big advantage that we have is not only do we take advantage of the relational framework at our disposal, such as all the cardinality-based optimizations done by the query optimizer, but we have built additional optimizations specific to XML processing. So imagine that if you have your XML data, but for reporting purposes, you want to shred it into a tabular form. So this would be retrieving bits and pieces of the XML data into different columns of this tabular form. And we have added optimizations so that we can club together a bunch of these extraction of values and run them all together. So we have enriched the basic query optimization framework for XML processing.
Well, so far this sounds like almost too good to be true. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if all of this is as wonderful as you say it is, why would I want to store anything in any other format? Maybe I should just store everything as XML. But, I mean, is there some negative, some downside to putting things in XML? Is it slower, for example?
Of course. So the XML data model inherently is more complex. And so to represent the XML data faithfully, we have to resort to more complex mechanisms. So if your data is simple enough, let's suppose you want to represent books. Books have a title, an ISBN, a price, a list of authors. So you know that there can be only one price, so you can shred that piece into a separate column in a table. The title can go into a separate column and so on. Now, the relational framework that is very well understood, it has developed over many years. Lots and lots of optimizations have gone into it. So if you are trying to retrieve a book based on the price, this would be a very efficient way of modeling your data. Now compare that you took the book data and stored it in an XML column. So now the XML data model, the XML processor thinks that the relative order of the title and the price is important. The hierarchy under which the price falls, that is important. But you know from your application that the relative order and the hierarchy, that may not be so important. So when you submit your X query on the XML, the processor tends to take into account the structure of the data, the relative order, for example, and it generates a more complex query plan because it is geared for more general XML processing. So in the simple cases where the data is highly structured, where the data and you know the structure of the data, it is still better to store the data in relational form. Now, when the data tends to become more semi-structured, for example, if you were to create a Word document, store the data as XML, and then you find that it becomes so much complex to shred the data into tables and columns and to reassemble the XML, so that's a good choice. Another good application we have seen is when you want to manage different types of assets. So if it's book, you can map the book data into one set of tables and columns. Consider DVDs, it can go into a different set of tables and columns. Now, if you were searching for Harry Potter, you would have to write a query that goes against books, retrieves books, union the query with search for Harry Potter on DVDs. And that's what your query would look like. But now comes the advantage of XML. You can take any number of your assets, books, DVDs, moon rocks, tapes, whatever you name it, store everything in an XML column, and then you can submit a query to search for Harry Potter. So, and find books, DVDs, and all kinds of assets that have Harry Potter in the appropriate places. So this is an advantage. As soon as you start getting into different types of assets where the properties can be different, and you want to simplify the data management and handle them all together, that opens up a brand new possibility for using XML data type. So there is this semi-structuredness side to it that emerges even for structured data when you consider different kinds of data. Plus the other extreme where you consider the document-centric world, which is typically more semi-structured. Now, we provide good schema evolution facilities. So imagine that your book schema evolves over time. Then you can go ahead and define your new book schema, introduce it into the system, into what we call an XML schema collection. And you can continue to store your old book data in the same XML column as the new XML data for books. And then if you search for Harry Potter, it can bring up old versions of the book as well as new versions of the book. So this is a very powerful capability that we have introduced into the system. And so once you are dealing with different kinds of assets, different kinds of objects with evolution, XML can actually give you some simplification in data management and maintenance of your applications.
So did you guys look at any particular customer scenarios when you were planning, you know, the kind of XML support you were going to add? And what kind of scenarios were you looking for?
That's a very good question. And when we got started with XML, we obviously got challenged in very basic ways that why do you want to do it in the database server? So we started engaging customers from our planning stage to find out exactly what kind of requirements our customers would have. So let me give you an example of a customer. This is a company called ORF in Austria. They handle sports information. There is a standard called SportsML, which captures sports events play by play. So they get all this data into an XML column, typed XML column, and then they can query this column to find different kinds of statistics about the sports events. Now, if you put all this XML data into one column, then you can have golf data, you can have football data, you can have baseball data, or whatever kind of data, all in one single column, and you can query this. So we actually looked at quite a few customer scenarios when we got started. And in fact, the schema evolution that I described using XML schema collection, that was prompted by one of our customers who said, this is exactly what I would like to do, and we built that within our product. So we realized that customers found it very beneficial to look at asset management scenarios to handle different kinds of assets all in a very uniform way. And it's very diverse. Asset can be considered to be a very abstract term. Books, then DVDs. This is an example I gave. One customer mentioned that they could consider different ATM charges, and so for different banks. So you can consider those as assets too. So whenever at an abstract level you have objects with different properties and you are trying to manage a whole bunch of different types of objects, then XML, it can come in very handy.
I'm wondering if that's if there's some role for maybe having, I don't know, I'm thinking of like if I had different tables for those things, my books table, my DVD table, and any other number of things, CDs or whatever, movies. Maybe for, you know, maybe legacy reasons, I've had those tables for a long time. But now I'm upgrading to SQL Server 2005, and so would it make sense to say add a new table where I build up XML from the existing tables and then use that just for this kind of ability to search across the aggregate of all of those? Or is that, would it just be make sense to do the old-fashioned query with unions?
Now, we have seen that some customers, they have considered moving to the new XML data type in a similar situation because they were in the process of redesigning their system and they wanted to build in more schema evolutionary aspects, simplification in data management, and so on. But if you are quite happy with what you currently have, and if you don't think that the schema evolution angle is going to be an issue for you, and your applications, they are all written up, then stay with what you currently have because it just works. And don't expect better performance to come out of XML because the XML data model is inherently more complex, so the query plan is going to be more complex. But if you are redesigning your system, and if you want to have schema evolution in mind, if you want to have data simplification in data management in mind, then it's a good thought to move your XML data, to move your data into an XML form, and you might see some benefits by doing that.
You know, the schema evolution is an interesting issue because, so in the traditional relational model, whenever you wanted to evolve your schema of your database, you have to just upgrade everything, right? You have to move it all over. All the old records have to move to the new format. You know, for a small database, that's not too bad. But for a very large database, this can be an extremely painful process.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And so by making use of XML, which inherently supports this in a much nicer way, and by resorting to XML schema that you can introduce for describing the new form of the data, you can actually manage your data in a better way.
So I can leave the old records in their old format. They don't have this new empty column that they don't have any data for and that sort of thing. But we're just going to, if I have 10 million rows of these old records, I can just, now they're in XML. I can leave them in their existing format, but the new records from here on out are going to have a new tag in that in their XML description, and that would be just totally fine.
Yes, and some applications, they won't even allow you to update the old records. So if you take taxes, personal taxes, so tax rules, they change from 1 year to the other, but you are not allowed to go back 3 years ago to the past tax records and upgrade those. But for books, maybe you can consider upgrading the data records to the new format. So with this mechanism for schema evolution using XML schema collection, we allow both possibilities.
Well, that's a very good point, because this has a large impact on development, especially with old records that you can't update. Because maybe I have a web application in an enterprise that allows me to look back at old financial records or see current ones and so forth. If I can't go back and touch the schema of the old ones, then that means my code's going to get that much more complicated, because I have to say, if I'm connecting to that old one, I have to use this kind of SQL and get these fields back differently than if I'm connecting to the newer one. And so my code gets much more complicated for browsing these older records.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And so now the mechanism would be, within your query, you specify the target namespace of the old schema, and then you formulate your query. And the query processor would look into the schema, retrieve all the schema definitions within that target namespace, use those appropriately to compile your query, and then process your query. So we now have moved a lot of this processing inside the database engine.
Yeah, so and I'm going to get back just some XML that I can deal with from that point on. Is that what I get back?
Yes, so when you query the data, then you get back XML, and then it's up to you how you want to use it. So let's suppose you write an inner select statement to retrieve some XML from your table, and you can have an outer query that takes this XML and does further XQuery on top of it, or generates a tabular form from the XML data for presentation within a report. So once you get the XML back, it's just XML data type. You have the full power of XML processing at your disposal to work on the data further.
This is fascinating, because I don't think that many people were aware that these kind of capabilities exist, or they don't think of, a SQL database as a place where I'm going to do a lot of XML work. But are we seeing many customers who are moving to this now with SQL Server 2005?
Yes, they are. So typically, people have been thinking of XML on the wire, XML as something transient. They load the XML into some .NET class. They create the DOM object model. They process the DOM object model. And then when the class is released, the data goes away. But now we have different framework where you can persist the data, and the database engine provides you so much more power for processing the data. So we have a variety of applications that are developing on this, starting from object management, object property management, then starting from how you can store your document information. And we see growing interest in handling all of these. Plus, we have the old style of application where the data comes on the wire as XML, because more and more industries are standardizing the XML schema. And then you are at liberty either to shred the data at the server into relational form, or to store it as XML, depending upon your needs. If it is very structured, store it in tables and columns. If it is less structured, then store it in XML. So you have a lot of this flexibility in your hand to design your applications. So the view we have is, if you have to process XML end-to-end, then you write your code in Visual Studio 2005 for XML processing, put XML data on the wire, store it as XML on the backend if that is appropriate, query and update your data at the backend using XQuery and the DML language, and then send back XML back to the client for further processing.
You know, there's one interesting thought that occurs to me is that in a lot of web service scenarios, people are finding, in order to support a very robust communications capability or a long-running kind of operations, that they need to persist web service messages in just their raw XML form, mm-hmm. so that they can make sure that, for example, a message has come in. Maybe this message is going to trigger a lot of business processes, but for auditing purposes, they may need to retain the original message that caused these business processes to happen, or they may need to retain it for other reasons. It's been a difficult thing to do. But with this kind of capability, right, I could just take the message and store it as XML, but then, as I thought more about that, it seemed to me that a SQL Server can actually expose a web service endpoint as well, right?
Yes. So now you can store your message for archival purposes, and we find many applications doing that. Plus, you can query into the XML if you want. You have the flexibility of shredding it into relational tables and columns and querying those two. And if you need to go back to the XML, you still have the XML. Now, there are two ways in which you can get values out of the XML messages that you have stored for archival purposes. One, you can redundantly store those in tables and columns, or you can promote some of these properties using what we call computed columns. And then the query optimizer would take on the responsibility of maintaining the relational columns that store the values extracted from the XML data. So here you have multiple ways in which you can store the data at the server and still resort to the XML messages for archival purposes. Now, you can also build up workflow. So the message comes in to one stage of workflow. There is some activity that happens, and then you modify your XML. We provide DML capabilities. The DML records what activity happened at that stage, and then you can forward that message to the next stage of workflow processing. And so this way, you can resort to an XML-based solution where the XML data, it flows through different stages of the workflow, capturing all the activities. And when the activity loop comes to a close, then you can say the entire message has been processed completely.
Well, this is the interesting thing about this, because a lot of people, when they first said, we can make a web service on SQL Server, they said, I keep my most important data in SQL Server. It's the most secure part of my network, and I wouldn't want to expose a SQL Server endpoint there. But that's because people have had the image of the database of being at the very lowest level of the architecture and the thing that would never be exposed outside. But what I'm imagining is that it would be very possible. Yeah, you're probably going to have that kind of database, but it would be possible to have other SQL servers that are effectively functioning almost like an application server or a platform that would receive messages in, be able to archive them using this capability. Could even form other messages, say using SQL Service Broker to send work onto the main database if they wanted to, but that seems like a fascinating possibility to me.
Yes, it is. And what you are pointing out is you can use the HTTP endpoint at a SQL server and use that SQL server as a staging server to capture the XML messaging and then to forward the message to using Service Broker or some other mechanism. It could also be ADO.NET, a simple connection to other SQL server where the data resides, the actual data resides. So those are many different interesting possibilities that have come up with SQL Server 2005 now. And it's a very interesting world, lots of architectural possibilities on developing your solution, more data model solutions at your disposal. And I hope that people are able to take advantage of this and make very interesting applications.
Yeah, I expect that they will. And when you look at SQL Server 2005, you see a very rich application platform that's a lot more than a database engine. But it also includes a notification engine and of course the service broker capabilities. There's a lot of stuff there that if people haven't looked at it, there's much more than meets the eye if you take some time to really get into it. Well, thanks, Shankar, for taking the time to drop by today.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Shankar Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Shankar. Wow. SQL Server as an application platform. You know, I think we're onto something here. I think it's something that a lot of people haven't considered, but how many times have you seen a web service that all it does is kind of shred XML and call ADO.NET to store stuff in tables and columns? And I don't know, maybe we're writing a lot of code there that's not adding a lot of value. Maybe it's possible to do something better. This is why architects need to kind of think about these things and kind of spin on them and consider new possibilities. Hey, but that's what we do here on ArtCast. So let me know what you think. Send your note to ron.jacobs@microsoft.com.